The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I heard you wanna check with your girl. Business and beauty, come and confess how you make your money and say yes to the guest.
All right, guys, we have a special guest, a food with soy. What's up, girl?
Hey, Patrick. Thanks for having me on. I'm so honored to be on
this. Thank you. Sorry, I had to get ready today.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We're both wearing green.
We are.
Are you cosplaying as me?
I am cosplaying right now, guys. You guys can't see me, but you guys can definitely check it out on the YouTube channel. Say yes to the guest. I am in cosplay in a blue wig. If you guys didn't know, Peter and I did Onward for Halloween. So I threw on one of the Onward wigs and I was like, oh my God. And then Peter and Dez, who's our producer on the show, was like, oh my God, you look just like soy. And I'm like, it's kind of perfect because we're interviewing you today.
I know. I feel like I'm looking at myself. It's like a mirror image.
So cool. For those that don't know, the wonderful Soy, or also better known as Food with Soy. Yes, that is her name. Food content creator extraordinaire with many, many followers, huge following on TikTok. And you are known for educating people on different cultural foods and mental health. You also do food reviews, eat with me videos, cooking videos, and an AIA winner.
You made me sound so good, Patrick.
So crazy. So welcome to CS to the Guest. I want to talk about like your journey, like success, making it on social media, because I think your come up is very fresh, very new. You're still trying to wrap your head around it, yeah?
Definitely. I mean, I've been doing the food thing for like quite a while, since like 2014, 2015. But like recently it's been like, you know, like hundreds of thousands of followers. So I'm definitely still kind of new at it, I feel.
Mm-hmm. But you could say confidently you get paid to do this.
Oh, I honestly, I'm living the dream right now that I didn't even think could be a dream. I'm like, literally, this is my job. I get to eat and like share food with people. And that's my job. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
And for those that are listening, Mukbang is like a food show. There's a food community. There's like a food world. A lot of people that may be listening might not understand like what your job entails, but it's similar to like, it's very probably similar to like a beauty influencer, where we promote beauty products, but you promote food and restaurants and businesses. And that's a very lucrative marketing vehicle for businesses to raise awareness.
Yeah, I think especially during the pandemic, when a lot of small businesses were suffering because of like, you know, people weren't going in to eat, there wasn't dine in and all that options. So like for them to get their word out, they were really using social media, especially TikTok. Has been super helpful for helping push like the restaurant business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was it for you that like to make it? So, let's say people are listening like, fuck, I want to eat. I want to make money doing this. Like, what does it? And you know so many people. By the way, guys, if you're listening, Soy knows everybody some way, somehow. And she's like, I was saying, if she doesn't start a PR firm, like that's just out of the question. But I think you're so well connected. You're so personable. You talk to everyone as if you've known them. And I think that's like so special. But what does it take to become like a foodie influencer specifically?
Well, I think if anyone wants to start, I really believe in abundance. And right now is like a great time. Like I've been doing this for so well, but lately it seems like more and more food is becoming like the frontier that is kind of like unexplored. So if it's something you're super passionate about, you should definitely explore it. And I think like you mentioned, like even with my friends or just people I meet, like the number one thing is connecting, right? Connecting to the audience, connecting to the food, connecting to whatever you're filming. That's like super important. I think the intent of like coming in and like just wanting to make money, like that wasn't ever my intent, you know? And I understand that transition where like it is a full-time job now for me. So I have to be, you know, more business savvy when it comes to certain things. But in general, the core of it is like, if you're really passionate about it and you feel like you have a story to tell, then you should tell it.
Do you find parallels of content creating between food and beauty influencing and just influencing in general, like consistencies that require success to your level?
I think, you know, sacrifice is very key. I think a lot of people are afraid of making those sacrifices because I used to like work a full-time job at Disney. I was, you know, I also worked at a YouTube MCN. I was doing a lot before this and the food was like kind of like a hobby, which was great at the time. But for me to fully transition to like a full-time job status, I had to, like, I quit my job at Disney and I spent like 2 years like freelancing and not really sure about what I was doing until I like finally found out the core was like, you know, celebrating cultures and raising awareness about mental health and, you know, bringing purpose to people's life. And sometimes it takes like a lot of trial and error. And I think a lot of people come into things thinking like, okay, this is it. I'm going to come in with this idea and this is what I'm going to make. And then when it's not fun anymore, because that's their purpose, right? Fun or to make money, or they're not generating that, they want to quit. And I feel very lucky because I think I could have probably quit at any point, but you know, I just stayed really authentic to myself. And I was like, well, let's just keep going. Even if we see like super viral trends, like I try to incorporate them, but they're not the focus of my content.
Is there like a story that like sticks out to you that stamped it like, I'm going to fucking do this because of this? Was there like a turning point or a story that you could share?
Sure. I mean, for me, like I grew up feeling like you look at me and you don't see like the average like Asian girl, right? Like I never thought that I could be on camera or like the face of anything just because I was like, oh, like why would anyone like really want to like connect with me? I guess I can say it now because I like signed the NDA, but then the pandemic happened. But I was like casted for a Food Network show. But the pandemic and everything made it kind of difficult and things. But I think like for me, that was the moment where I was like, well, if a big network values me in that sense that they even want to talk to me, bring me into meetings, and like I auditioned and I got the role, like they were like, we want the show to be your show, like then I should believe in myself. And that was like a really big turning point where I was like, okay, cool. Like if Food Network's not going to give me a show, I'm going to make my own show. I have my TikTok, I have my Instagram. I'm going to make this content myself. Until like people are aware that like, hey, like we need these voices. We need this presence. Yeah. Mm.
You have shut down, like not shut down, but like you have literally blown up small businesses. Can you name drop a few and shout them out?
Oh my gosh. Yes. The one that I think off the top of my head, cause I didn't expect it to do so well, was this like random dessert shop called The Vintage 1975 in Garden Grove. I just posted that video. I was about to take a nap. I woke up and it hit like, over like a million views. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like awesome for a small business. But like before that, like she asked me to come in a couple of times and I was like, okay, let me go in. Like the food was great and everything was great. And the video was great. But the next like 3 days, she said she had to close at noon. Like they opened at like 10 and they were closed at noon for the next 3 days because they couldn't fulfill the need. And there was like a line down the plaza. And then I was like, I'm so sorry for doing that. And she's like, no, it's great. We just like didn't expect that. And I was also like, wow, I didn't expect that either, but it's really cool that you can see it, you know, you can see it translate. Cause like traditionally when you see like media, you can translate sales or ROIs and like sales or any of that stuff, but to see people to actually go into a restaurant and order things, like actual people waiting in line, that was like crazy to me. It blew my mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a funny story. Peter and I, who you know really well, we love Peter. We grew up in Orlando, Florida, and we would always, me, Peter, and Paul, our youngest brother, we would always argue where to eat. We would want to like spend like brother time and like eat, but it would be like the same four options: Panera, Cheddar's, Fridays, Ale House. I mean, there's no shade to those chains, but
right.
I think we were always like craving something new. We love going to Disney. There's always something new at Disney. But coming to LA, there is new on new on new on new. And Peter and I were like in love. And, you know, eventually Peter became vegan. And when the moment I knew food was like a thing or could be a thing is that when I started going to this food weekly gathering called Smorgasburg, where they have a bunch of different small businesses come together. I remember I kept posting about it, being so wowed at the variety of foods, the different types of people. They had vegan options, seafood, barbecue, mofongo, like Thai, little vendors, desserts. And when Smorgasburg had reached out to me to become the mayor of Smorgasburg for Pride.
I remember you were like every weekend, you were like, you want to go to Smorgasburg? I was like, my God, Patrick lives there.
I loved it. I mean, because I just want to try the different things. But I'm like, you know, you a big bitch or a big foodie when the actual event dubs you the mayor. I said, I just want to come and eat. I mean, if the food is going to be comped or gifted, like, I'd love to come. And that's when they did Pride. And I was the official mayor of Smorgasburg Pride.
Royalty. We're in with royalty now.
Yeah, I think the phenomenon of food, I think there's something about food that I find like in makeup that's therapeutic in terms of like feeding the soul. Like makeup like makes you look beautiful and feel beautiful. And I think food does the same thing, but in a different way. It feels like your tummy and your soul and your taste buds. It's invigorating.
Yeah, I mean, that's why comfort food exists, right? Like the idea that nostalgia and you eat something and it takes you back somewhere. I also think there's a strong like connectiveness to food because we all have to eat. And then it's really cool to see different cultures embrace like similar things. Like we all have different types of like egg rolls, right? Like Filipinos have lumpia. And Vietnamese has like, you know, our Vietnamese, but it's like similar, but different to the cultures. And I think that's like such a beautiful thing because you can see it celebrate in so many different varieties, but at the time we're sharing it.
All right, y'all, time for a shameless plug. This is the first of its kind. I am actually shouting out my own brand, One Size Beauty. If you guys have not heard about this brand, it is my beauty brand. It's in Sephora. It stands for love. And the brand is actually red and pink, which is supposed to be about self-love and love for others, but also the lovely freaking products that I've created. If you guys have not tried the Turn Up the Base Powder Foundation, you are missing out. It won Best Powder Foundation by Allure in 2021. So we hold that title as of now. And it is literally so freaking gorgeous. It comes in a beautiful red chrome compact and you can use it by itself. You can layer it on top of your liquid foundation. But this is literally a must have for makeup artists, for everyone on the go, for moms, maybe dads, boys, girls, like your friends. If you guys have not heard the buzz around this powder foundation, it's literally my number one obsession with the brand, apart from, you know, our Point Made eyeliner, which is also really freaking good too. But please give it a try. It's at Sephora and also at onesizebeauty.com. It has rice silk powder, which literally smooths and blurs the skin. And you can use it with a brush, with a powder puff. If you guys just want that extra boost of confidence with just like a little bit of coverage, powder foundation, there has been so much technology in the way that it's made that it doesn't look cakey nowadays. And that's what's so important to me in creating a beautiful photogenic HD powder that really just looks amazing on your skin. Also, by the way, if you need help looking at shades, and you guys don't know, on our Instagram, One Size Shade Finder, you can DM us and we can definitely match you. It's so fierce. We're on there 24/7 and we can match you right away. You can send us a selfie and we'll give you shade suggestions on the app on Instagram at One Size Shade Finder and get your match directly to you. We also have the Turn Up the Base Butter Silk Concealer, which is really great if you love buttery silky concealer, but be sure to check it out. We have amazing products on there. But guess what, guys? For you, I had just asked the team if we can. I'm giving you all 20% off. That is 20% off when you use the code YES20 on onesizebeauty.com only. YAS20 is the code to receive 20% off your entire order exclusively here on Say Yes to the Guest, my podcast, because I just want to spread a little bit of love. You guys have been with us for 2 seasons and I was like, how come I've never told them about my powder? I'm shouting out all these other brands, like why not for all of you? So with that being said, to give you guys a token of my appreciation, 20% off your entire order. Be sure to check out our website, onesizebeauty.com. Use the discount code. Check it out. Check us out in Sephora. And most of all, love yourself and love the skin that you're in. And don't forget, makeup is a one size fits all. What I noticed is that I feel like you're so well connected, but that has to come from somewhere where there is etiquette and delivery and also in pitching. Can you talk about like how to create the perfect pitch and intro when you're meeting someone? Because sometimes nowadays people may call it clout chasing or thirsty or just arrogant. And we've seen influencers be canceled over being prideful or arrogant in their regard. Like, I'm an influencer. Like, I don't have to pay anything. Like, what is your ideal way of pitching to a brand or getting comped or just yourself? Like, what does it take?
I think it's definitely different, like reaching out to like a brand versus like talking to like other humans. Cause I think it's like, one is like a business aspect, right? Because you still have to like showcase like certain things, like you have to bring value, you know? But I also think that in friendships as well, like people like to think that, like, I think a good friendship is like a lot of give and take, you know, where it's a reciprocated love, where it's like, okay, I want to help you with this. Like, I always offer help without thinking of receiving in return, but I also know my friends are there to help me out. And I keep that point of view with like most people that I meet. Like, if I can help them, I want to help them based on, you know, like until there's a boundary, right? Where it's like, mm-hmm. hey, I see that you're like, you know, trying too much to take advantage of me. And then I'm like, you know what? I have the power to say no. Mm-hmm. And that's like the strong thing. But I think like always, like if you talk to them, you listen to them and you see that they have a problem and you're like, hey, I can help you with this. It's always good. It's always comforting to know that someone's out there to help you. I don't know if that's really pitching or if it's just like who I am. I just really love helping out.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have a good intuition after years of experience in service?
I think so. Like even when I'm talking to like chefs and like even the workers working at restaurants, I try to be as kind as possible and try to see like what everyone's coming from, because I think like that's super important, because you don't know where they're going to be doing next, you know? Like someone could be a waitress one day and then she owns a restaurant the next, you know.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. So you don't want to like burn that bridge of like, hey, like I'm better than you, because I don't think that's true. You know, we're all just humans living in this world trying to just survive.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's funny. I think with me in terms of like being an influencer and working with brands and learning how to navigate business, I certainly did not go to college to be a beauty influencer with this brand right. or personal brand of Patrick Starr. It's so funny. I've learned a lot of how not to act from reality TV and trash TV.
How so?
I think like contestants, like talking back to judges on like American Idol or like Bad Girls Club or like MTV shows or Top Model, like girls bickering towards each other because you never know who it can affect.
You basically learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
You're like watching, you're like, I don't want to portray that, you know, I don't want to be that person. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like, you know, although we are growing up in a very diverse, inclusive world with different types of people, different types of personalities, I mean, this could change when it comes to business. There are certain ethics, there are certain manners that takes a transaction to happen.
Right.
You know, and I feel like that includes being polite, that includes being inquisitive and inquiring. And I feel like when influencers are like so eager, it's always the song, me, me, me.
Right. Give.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, take.
To understand. Yeah, take. Right. But also, I feel like you have to understand the business. Is there like a successful partnership that you had? Like, it doesn't have to be like a paid partnership, but a relationship that you were surprised and that has come to fruition, that's a personal one to you?
Oh, well, this is a good story because I think it's a good transition where you should always be kind. When I started my food blog, McDonald's wasn't doing sponsorships. They didn't understand the influencer space. People weren't really buying products because they saw like, you know, Instagram posts. I was like just making videos on my videos for McDonald's because I really liked what I was eating and stuff. And they reached out and they were like, hey, we would love to like send you food to do a video. And I was like, that's so cool to have a brand that I grew up eating. My mom feeds me it to like give me food, you know? And I was like, this is so cool. And now like years later, they're signing very expensive deals with me, but I wouldn't be on their radar if I wasn't just doing things because I really like the product, you know?
Yeah, there's a parallel, I think, with beauty too, where I feel like influencers sometimes are like, well, I need to be paid my value. Yes, but I feel like if there's nothing for brands to go off of, if you genuinely like the product, you kind of have to, brands, I feel like, want to see that.
Yeah.
That authentic, organic appreciation for the product for them to potentially partner.
And also, I think there's so much like abundance in the world, you know, for you to think that like you don't get this one brand, like you're not going to get it in the future is like a very, I feel like it's almost like a closed-minded way of looking at it, right? Because it's always growing and there's always new deals and there's always new opportunities to work together with brands, especially if you love working on a brand and then eventually they see it. Obviously, you're going to be on their radar versus like, you know, there's so many creators out there. Like, how are you going to be in front of them?
Can you talk about boundaries and saying no? Like, when's the last time you said no? And what the fuck was it?
Ooh.
You said yes to this podcast. So I can
I always
ask
say
you.
I always say yes to the guests, right?
T.
What did I say no to? I feel like I've had to learn to say no during the pandemic a lot. Like going out and doing all that stuff. So now it's become better. Before, I used to say yes to everything. Like I was at every single event, I was at every single birthday thing, and I had almost like a fear of missing out where I was like, oh, if I don't, yeah, I was like, if I don't do this, then like this friendship is going to end. And I realized that's not why people are friends with me. You know, they like me, and that's like good enough. So I've learned to like, I've become more introverted, I feel, because of the pandemic. And I'm like, oh, like I don't want to go out tonight, or like, you know, maybe next time. And there's always ways to like make up for things. So I've been saying no, I feel like, to going out and like doing things that drinking. I stopped drinking for the last at least half a year, almost a year. Yeah. And it's been really easy saying no. I just been like, oh, I don't really want to do it. So it's an easy no now. Before it was like, oh, I'm not sure if I don't want to do it, or if like I'm social drinking, or if I want to drink it. So yeah.
Mm. What discipline did it take, and what is it going to take for you to continue to grow as a major food blogger? What do you feel in your bones that you're doing now that's going to take you to the next level for anyone listening?
I think definitely continuing to like build my community and really like try to connect with everyone is like my main goal, and like making content that really not only, you know, I think of it like purposeful, like how does it reach my audience? Like what value does it bring? Like, am I educating people on a new culture? Am I educating people my culture? And am I talking about mental health and helping someone out that way? So I try to be kind of like very purposeful with my content, just because before I was really driven by like fun, like the idea of like, oh, I'm just going to go out and do things. And I had to learn the discipline with like, hey, like if I'm always out doing things, then I really can't even focus on the real content that I want to make. So it's been a lot of like shifting, and I feel like I'm still growing. And I talk about that a lot. Like, we're humans, we're always evolving, we're always growing. So I'm okay with like my mind changing. Like maybe today I'm like, I just want to make this type of content. And then tomorrow I'm like, oh, I don't want to make that content. I'm trying to be like as easy as possible, my growing process. But I think probably the hardest part was like when I was transitioning from like a full-time job to doing this, like I had to learn to like create boundaries with that. Like I have like certain hours that I need to be working. I need to be, you know, productive certain hours, and the other hours I need rest. It's okay to need rest, but I need to make that boundary where I'm not always on social media or always connected or always doing things, because it is a full-time job. But at the same time, I'm also a full-time human, and the balance is like, yeah, the balance has been very a weird awakening experience, but I feel more alive because of it.
I've never had anyone say full-time human. That is so true. Because sometimes we put our identities before what we actually are in our carbon being. So
it's true.
That's interesting.
Humans are so complicated. We have so many thoughts and we have so many things going on. And I don't expect anyone to fully understand me. And I don't like expect to fully understand anyone. But I give that ease of knowing that we're all just trying to exist.
Do you have like a huge goal? Like what can... What's the dream? I know you told me recently you want to like take your mom out, and you know, you're like obsessed with your family. I'm obsessed with my family too. What's like the big dream for you?
I mean, obviously I want to be a one size ambassador. No, I'm just kidding.
By the way, every time I'm with you, you stay promoting one size. If I'm going to get a fat bill from your manager, if you don't stop promoting one size.
Allure number one of this year. Look at that. 32 shades. Pump up the bass, you know? We gotta keep
yes.
it real.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I think, you know, family goals are really important. Like, I was working so much before with my full-time job. I never really got to visit my mom as much. So even this year, I got to visit my mom a lot more than I've ever had before. So I'm very happy that I can make those trips, and like, I just want to like give back in general to the things that have given to me. Like, I want to do more charity stuff. I want to, you know, give back to my audience, my followers, because I feel like I'm finally in a place where I have so much good in my life that I want to continue to share it so that there's more good out there. I don't know how I want to do it yet, but I'm still, you know, I'm thinking. I'm going to have to ask Patrick. You know, he's an entrepreneur. He knows everything, but I'm still working on that. But I idealistically, that's what I want to do. And then like goals of like, you know, making my like longer form content, all those things are like in my head always, you know.
In terms of conquering the food world in a digital world, did you have like a book? Did you have a show? Did you have like a celebrity or social media inspiration that you thought? Because for me, it was like Tyra, but make it beauty. Influencer.
I love that.
That's who mine was. Do you have one?
I mean, like, show-wise, I watched a lot of, like, Guy Fieri and Anthony Bourdain, who are, like, just the opposite of each other. One is, like, super good at storytelling and in politics, and Anthony Bourdain is, you know, a legendary chef, and then Guy Fieri is a personality, a brand. And in a way, I was kind of like, how do I showcase both? Like, I feel like I can tell stories, but at the same time also have a personality. So I watched a lot of them to see, like, how they describe food, how they talk about food, how they connect it with people, how they talk to chefs growing up. So that was like a big part of it for me.
That's cool. And then in terms of business and navigating this unconventional type of job, like what did it take for you? I mean, you worked at an MCN, which is a multi-channel network. Did you learn a lot there?
Yes, how to like how people scam creators.
Spilling the tea with who is.
Because like if you look at it now, like most MCNs are like not existent anymore, right? Because true. They really, at the time I was like, oh, I love this idea, like we're helping people, but really it's like helping the top 5%. You know,
do
like
they
the
still
the,
exist?
I don't know. We're gonna have to do a Google. Someone search it up and let us know in the comments.
Oh yeah. My gosh. MCNs are multi-channel networks. I was signed to one and they're kind of like a one-stop shop to quote unquote help push your channel, but also take percentage of the ads because you can get better ads. I don't know. I mean, I got here thus far. I was with, I think, just one or two MCNs before I had my personal manager. Now, it's crazy how it shifted. Because now I think that was like the biggest thing. I want to be signed to an MCN.
Right.
Like, they're going to make me big and huge. Yeah. And now people just have talent managers, like actors right. and celebrities that get you brand deals and agents and publicists yeah. and everything.
It shifted so much because I think like when, you know, I didn't know that much about YouTube going in, but then I learned so much after working at the MCN. YouTube is like a very special platform where you're literally building an audience that is really poorly obsessed with you. Like no other platform, like TikTok's great for like new audience and funneling in. And like, you also get a different type of community, but the YouTube audience is so loyal, right? Haven't you realized that with your following? It's just like, they love you.
Anymore.
They're like,
I don't know anymore.
They still do, Patrick. They still do. But like, it's like, they're like attached to you and they love you. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot about audience development through mm-hmm. working at an MCN where I was like, okay, community is first, you know? Well, content is also first. The seeds, the content, community, those are the most important things. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot through MCNs because that's really what I saw success from the creators that I worked with. I was like, yeah, they have great content, but they're also building that connection with their community.
So for talent in the field, manager, without management, what is your biggest advice to people out there that want to get to your level where you have like people on your team?
I definitely think connecting with other peers in the space, being a part mm-hmm. of that community. So if you're in the food world, you know, when I first started, I just came from Florida. I didn't have any friends. And I just started like adding all these food bloggers. And I was like, I just want to see the content they're making and seeing where they're going to so I can learn. And then eventually, like, they were like, oh, I really like the content. Let's meet up. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's meet up. Let's be friends. And they're still my friends now. Like, we have, like, a chat. Like, I have a foodies union chat with a couple of my close foodie friends where we talk about, like, openly about, like, hey, Jack in the Box is giving me this rate. You know, like, what are they giving you? Like, what is the terms? Because, like, we're in a space where, like, before management for, like, food content creators is like, a very new thing. Like, I'm very happy with my manager, but not everyone has management still. Mm. And it's a very big step. It's not like an easy decision you make overnight. You have to find the right person. You got to connect with them and you got to trust them. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Like, you don't want to, when you're used to building something yourself, how do you let go of that, you know, 100%?
See, yeah, I think I remember when I signed with my manager, who's been my manager my whole entire life as Patrick Starr. I remember me and Manny, I talked about it in our podcast. We, on my birthday, 2014, we were like, okay, are we going to sign this? And we had the contract and we literally were on the phone and we clicked send in like 3, 2, 1, send. And it was such a big deal because I was like, you know, I don't want to get screwed over. You know, you right. hear these crazy stories. I have had mm-hmm. influencer friends that have been in very, very tragic situations in terms of business that
right.
I feel very bad for it, but I feel like it takes trust. I feel like it takes confidence to know that you're the talent and this has to be a significant relationship that you both have to put effort into.
Right.
And that has to be set from the beginning.
Exactly. I agree. And I think like a lot of times like friends that come up to me now, they're like, oh, should I get a manager? I'm like, if you're still questioning if there's value in having a manager, then maybe it isn't the time to get a manager just yet because you have to open up that space, right? Like I one of your famous lines is like, life opens up when you open up, right? Mm-hmm. And that opportunity doesn't come if you're coming into any type of relationship with the idea like, this is not going to help me. I know better. And I used to be like that. I used to think that like, I know so much already. I worked at an MCN. I understand the management part. I was getting, you know, I can handle all my deals, and I couldn't be happier right now with my manager because he is doing everything that I thought I could do, but even better, you know, and having that open mind that like, there are people that could do things for you and help you grow is like very important. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember a quote from Megan Batoon, who was a guest on Say Yes to the Guest, and she's a fellow YouTuber. She said something that stuck with me like to this day that she took from, or she took source from someplace else. She said, if you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone.
Right. Oh, yes, I know
and
that one.
So I was like, oh my God, I feel like the more people you have, you can go farther. There's more horsepower. It may not be as fast, but you can go really, really far. But with my whole team now having, I think people will, you know, my whole team.
Like, oh, I love your team. You're like your team is literally like a family in itself, but there's like, they're so talented at what they do. And I think that's like really hard to find, but I'm pretty sure it took you so long to nurture that, right? Mm-hmm. And trust that.
Yeah, to trust that. And also, it's a very big financial, you know, investment to have that many people on your team. But I think early on, knowing that there was something in this business of Patrick Star, I think it was important for me to invest in very talented people. Mm-hmm. Everyone on my team was a rookie. Now we are professionals fucking with huge brands, you know, apart from one size, but with people like Sephora and celebrities like filming in my studio here where I'm sitting right now with Jessica Alba sitting in this chair or Tyra Banks. And we're like,
right,
they're working with us. Like Peter's on the camera. Des is
like, they want to work with you. You know, they're like, this is Star Studios. This is the Star team, you know, but taking that first step of like, hey, I'm going to like invest. And in all terms, you know, like financially or even like time and effort, like building that relationship with your team, like, hey, like we're going to make something big. We're going to do this together is such a huge investment that I think a lot of people are afraid to make because they're like, I don't want to invest and then get screwed over. You just have to like kind of gauge, you know?
I think for anyone listening that's a small business or wanting to like get more support, I think for me, when I started YouTube by myself on my own, I remember I was wearing every single hat, editing, producing, directing, acting, doing the makeup, doing the hair, like everything. And then I realized, what are my weaknesses and what areas could I grow? And then that's when I had Peter come in. I was like, I need help filming. I need help with someone doing emails. And then it was like Fabian. So I think even if it's just one person, because a lot of influencers and friends are like, I need an assistant. Like, you have so many. And I'm like, no. Everyone has a specific role with a specific talent that brings value to the whole team. And it's really crazy that people just want help. They don't know where to begin. But I feel like ironing out like your white space and where you can use the most aid really makes it come to life.
And I think it also, we go back to bringing value, right? Because I'm sure working with you and working on all this, they're learning a lot and they're growing in their own ways. Like, you know, like Peter, he didn't know anything about like cameras and all that stuff. Now he's like, I go to him for advice. I'm like, hey, Peter, can you help me figure this out? You know, or Des is like, hey, with
you're the
podcast.
One with
like,
the Adobe partnerships.
I know. I was telling Peter, I was like, hey, Peter, can you like just like do the thing on the side in the live stream if someone's asking you about encoding and just like pretend you're me? I'll be right here like this, and then you're just like, and he's like. I guess it's a no.
But as of now, Food with Soy, you're a one-woman show with a manager just doing it. And I feel like that's really cool because you're like so close to the ground. You're like talking to the businesses, garnering their relationships, and then your manager is just executing the transaction with you.
Yeah, well, I feel very grateful because he definitely manages the money aspect and all the things that I feel like I'm a little bit weaker on because it's really hard as a creator to honestly talked about brands and like, you know, you're kind of trying to value yourself and they're telling you like this amount and you're like, the back and forth is very draining for my mental health when I was doing it. She gets to do that so I can do the fun stuff, which is like help support small businesses or like do my mental health videos or I'll spend more time doing the things I want to do. So I feel very blessed because it's great. I'm a one-woman team with a great manager.
And also you're Asian. So let's talk about that for a second, because I feel like the Asian culture and community, like growing up in a Filipino community, oh, mm-hmm. Patrick can do your pictures. Oh, Patrick can do this. And Patrick, I'm like, what is my parents pitching me in terms of like a value?
Oh my gosh, that's like, true.
It's
that's
such true. An Asian thing. And not to talk shit, but to just kind of like bring realization. I'm like, I'm a valuable person with something to offer that should be paid and compensated yeah. for, because this is like a waste of time. And I remember my parents going, oh my God, Patrick, we can open up a salon for you in Waterford Lakes like, in what? Orlando. And I was like, I don't know if that's for me. Not to say that having a salon is bad, but right. you know, like I didn't think that this type of business was something that I aspired to have. It was yeah. a very different type of business that they've never before seen.
Right, right. I think like a lot of times creators, when they're like growing and stuff, they try to capitalize on everything. And I think it's fine to like not be a part of everything. It's very fine to reserve your space. Like everyone's always like, do you want to open a restaurant? Do you want to open a boba shop? You love boba? I can help people run their business. I can help consult, but I never want to own a restaurant. If anything, one of my goals is for my mom to have her restaurant, you know, so I'm building everything so that my mom can do that. Because that's what she loves and that's what she wants to do. Mm. I don't want to do that for the rest of my life. Mm. And I'm okay with not doing things, even if I see other people do it. And I think like that's really important, is like to be authentic to like what you want to do. And I think like you not wanting a hair salon is like super valid. Like there's nothing wrong with it, but also like that's not what you want to do. Like why would you spend extra time and energy cultivating that?
Are you promoting your consulting business right now for 2022?
I'm not taking clients right now, but I have friends that I could transfer over. Patrick,
I'm like, really, I'm just adding more shit to your fucking plate.
I know. Patrick, we were just having like a dessert one day and he was like, you should trademark this. Have you thought about doing this? And I was like, Patrick, I'm just trying my best. I'm just trying my best. Little steps. I'm just a little fish right now.
I love it. I think it's just so natural. I'll be like, oh, what if you had this business? What if you had that?
I know.
What if you had this? It's just like fun. Like
I know. I love it. I'm just like, hey, Patrick Starr is always like always thinking of branding and always like you should have your own little marketing PR situation, Patrick.
I mean, one day I have consulted with businesses too. I mean, this is a huge brand that I've consulted for in the past. It's Tatcha, mm-hmm. the skincare brand early on. Vicky, before she sold her brand to Unilever, was like, hey, I want you to be a consultant. I want you to help me mm-hmm. invade the influencer space. And this was in 2016 that I was right. reached out. And I worked on with them for a year on social media strategy, helped with the Yoli Glow program. And mm-hmm. it blew up.
Yeah,
she was
everywhere. So doing facials for everyone.
Do you have your brothers or siblings like wanting to be foodies too?
No, they don't really. I think like it's very interesting because my family in Florida doesn't really know what I do. Like even my mom, like
what?
I finally told her I quit Disney like during the pandemic. And she was like, oh, if you need to come home and live with me. And I didn't tell her I was doing this full time because she doesn't know any of this at all because she doesn't really use social media. So I don't tell her because she's also a single mom, like six kids. Like I didn't want to be like, hey mom, I'm doing something creative with my life and I'm quitting like a stable, like 9-to-5 job to like do this like fun food thing that doesn't, you know, in Florida, it's not like that in Florida. Like you can't make this into a career right now in Florida or maybe like in Orlando maybe, but I live in a small little city. So I didn't tell my mom. And then recently she saw that I was nominated for the awards and like her friends like sent her videos like, oh, is this your daughter? Like on TikTok, because those videos do really well. And then my mom was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, oh, it's just a video, mom. She's like, oh, can you do this for like one of the restaurants like that she's friends with? And I'm like, yeah, of course, mom. But like, she doesn't understand that like this is my full time job now, and I'm like I don't know how to tell her that because I think it's a lot like for her to.
Oh my God, I feel like she would be addicted to TikTok and social media, and I feel like it would give them breath and like yeah, fresh maybe. Perspective. It will. You know what's so crazy? When I moved to LA, I remember I was like, okay, Peter, you have to live with me in LA. And Peter's like, oh my God, I just graduated college. I work here. He worked at a sushi place called Says Hi, shout out. And I was like, Peter, please. And I was like, oh my God, my parents are left with now one child. They're going to flip out.
Paul.
So, and Paul, then he was going on tour for drum corps because he does color guard. And I was like, oh my God, like I felt like I just uprooted and like moved. So what can I give them to feel somewhat connected? So I had Paul and Peter kind of like, and also me, help them explain what social media was. And how we make money, not how much money, but like how we make money and how we survive and how we pay our bills, to give them like peace of mind as Filipino.
And your mom is like her own little influencer.
Yeah. I feel like your mom would be interested too if you gave her
maybe
a little bit.
Maybe I'll think about it. I think there's like a lot of things about social media that like I feel like my mom's mental health is always like my number one priority. I'm always like, dude, when you have six kids, like maybe when my little brothers are like about to, you know, leave the nest, it's time for my mom to like share her stories with the world. And I include her in my videos. So she loves sharing her stories, but she doesn't know where they go or what it does for other people. And I've been like, oh mom, like someone made your recipe, and she's just like happy. And that's like enough for her. Like she doesn't need to know like all that. And then, but I think like, you know, like I recently got like a good amount of money. Like I've been making more than I ever have finally. And I was like, I want to buy my mom like a new stove, a new fridge. And I told my mom that. She's like, no, save your money. Like, you know, you don't have a job right now. And I'm like,
my parents be doing that.
I know. It's like, I think it's the immigrant, right? Because they're immigrants and they came to this country with nothing. So in their mind, it's like, they don't want to take from us because they feel like we have nothing. But they gave us everything. So we want to give them something. You know, that's how the cycle is. And I had to tell her mom, I want to do this for you. Like that talk we had the other day where you were like, I had to tell my mom like, mom, I got like a really big bonus. Like I really want to like buy this for you. And then she was like, okay, like you can do it. And I was like, that made me so happy, you know? And I was like, such a rewarding moment, but I still didn't know how to explain it to her. I was like,
just skip a step and just be like, I already did it. I did it. Yeah. I did it. Girl, don't do it. Because the parents are that audio. Right? Girl, don't do it. Girl, I was just thinking about it. I did it. I just jumped to the I did it with my parents because I remember when I was remodeling their kitchen or taking them on a trip, me and Peter already fucking knew that they were going to say no. And there's a saying in Tagalog, like sayang ng kwarta. It's like it's a waste of money, uh-huh. But I'm like, I had to explain to them. I had to sit them down, and they kind of like almost like an adult. And I had to tell them, listen, this is very disrespectful if you tell me that I'm wasting my money when this is a gift. Ito nang regalo. This is a gift for you. So don't shit on my gift. Yeah. Because that's going to hurt my feelings. Do you understand? Yes. So they were like, okay, fine. Thank you. They're always very grateful. But I feel like they're just so used to that like system in their mind to like not receive. And it's I don't know if it's like an Asian Filipino thing or cultural thing.
I think it's like consideration. But in general, like amongst like the Southeast Asian, the ones like very geared towards family, we don't want to like create that burden with someone else, right? Like in Vietnamese. In Vietnamese, we say it's like, we feel like, what's the word? It's like, I don't feel comfortable having you do that. Like when you go over to someone's house and they offer you water, and my mom would be like, don't ever take any water. And I'm like, mom, I'm thirsty, you know? Like,
we walk 10 blocks.
I know. You know what I mean? But like, it's like, I had that mentality growing up. And then I also had a hard time receiving until recently. Like, actually Fabian, great words of Fabian. He was like, he wanted to pay one day for a meal. And I was like, no, Fabian, it's okay. And he was like, don't block your blessings. And I was like, wow, that really hit me, because I was like, yeah, if people want to give to you and like support you and you support them, then why am I blocking that? Right. And I'm like, wow, I'm slowly unlearning what I learned as a child, where I was like, no, blessings go away. And now I'm like, oh, I'll embrace it. Like, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. You blessed me with this. And I want to keep blessing too, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally true. I think that's something that, you know, I've had to learn over the years in terms of value and self-worth, because I really didn't have like a guide, not even with my parents, in terms of how to navigate the Patrick Star career and business. And I feel like it's a lot of trial and error, but like also being empathetic and also trusting other people, but learning how to trust other people. I literally asked Jamie Kern Lima. She's the founder of It Cosmetics. Mm-hmm. And I bumped into her a few years ago at Soho House. And she sold It Cosmetics for over $1 billion.
Wow. We love a successful woman. We love that.
Amazing. Such an inspiration to me and thousands of people. And I remember asking her, I said, hey, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, okay, this is my one chance to ask a bajillionaire, like a self-made beauty mogul, what does it take to trust people?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at that time, I was going through a very hard time with some new hires in the business, which wasn't working out. It was devastating. And I didn't know how to process, you know, this situation. And I don't know if it was me not trusting them or them not trusting me and who's the boss here. And so I remember asking her and she was like, you know what? She was very honest and genuine. And I feel like that's a good question to ask anybody in business. Like how do you trust and stuff like that? So she said, the way that I trust is through my faith. And I was like, amen, sister. Like, and so from that day on, I've been praying. I've been, you know, meditating. I've been taking time to have breath and grace for myself too, to understand these decisions. And I feel like when you're moving so fast or growing so fast like you, I feel like having friends in the industry, talking to them, you kind of have to have what I call an emotional emergency plan.
Ooh.
And I've taught this to some influencers too, but I mean, this could go for anybody going through work stuff. Like you have different groups you consult with. So if you are going through a business situation, I'll talk to my personal friends and get their opinion. And it's totally personal because I'm empathetic to the situation. And then on this side, I have my industry manager, publicist, peers, professional industry people. And then I kind of also have a conversation with myself. And that's my emotional emergency plan in terms of how to tackle a situation. And from talking to Jamie, it was a really poignant conversation to listen. And I feel like sometimes with a lot of noise and mental health going on nowadays on social media, there's so much noise from every which angle, whether it's a reel, a TikTok, a tweet, YouTube, the news, media. And I feel like a lot of people have a hard time hearing their own thoughts. So I love what you said earlier about having break.
Yeah, I think like taking that pause and like repositioning yourself where you're kind of like, sometimes I feel like over anxious with so many thoughts and I do something similarly to you. Like I have certain people I go for certain things, like really trusted friends, like many years where I know that no matter what, like the people that you surround yourself with should have good intentions for you. You know, like don't, if someone is, that's why you get like troll comments on YouTube and like all these things. And I don't really get affected by that too much because I know their intention isn't to help me. Their intention isn't to help me grow, isn't to help me thrive, isn't really to help me. But to have close friends that you know that their intention is never to hurt you, maybe they have a different opinion than you. And that's okay. That's good to hear, good to learn, good to like kind of see everyone's point of view. But as long as their intention is like, hey, like I want the best for you, whether that be like your health, your well-being, or like I want you to make decisions that are money safe, like whatever it is, like they want the best for you. That's very important to have that faith in the people you talk to about making those decisions, I think.
I'm such a very private person. But I feel
Scorpio, like Scorpio energy, everyone. Patrick is such a Scorpio. Every time, like, I was like, yes. Like, when I think of Scorpio, I think of Patrick. He's, like, so mysterious. But at the same time, like, because you're the fire of the water signs. Uh-huh. So you're, like, mysterious to yourself. Like, your emotions and things, but you have them. They're there. They're raging. Yes. But, you know, you choose who you share them with.
Mm-hmm. I think one piece of advice that helps me come to a decision, whether that's professional or personal decisions that are huge in my life, is when I talk to certain people, whether that's my personal friends or my peers or business friends, I set the intention at the beginning of the conversation, whether or not I want to hear their opinion back or if I'm just there to vent.
Yes.
So I tell them at the very beginning of the conversation, hey, girl, I got to vent to you. This is it. I'm not looking for a decision right now. And then they kind of understand how to reply to me to make sure that it is an appropriate response. Because sometimes I'm like, I need help. I don't know what to do. Or this shit just fucking sucks. I just need to talk about it. And then we could talk about it. You know, I feel like a lot of people get confused. And that's where I feel like sometimes people can get hurt in the conversation because people are just venting. but sometimes they get responses that they don't really want or need, or that are unwarranted, you know? So that's like a part of it too. I think
that definitely applies to like personal life as well. Like I've learned to say that with like my close friends, like if they're, especially if like people don't know that they're like trauma loading, like they're like, I have this to tell you. And then it's really good to actually ask someone like, hey, do you have space to hold for me? And then after that, be like, I want to make the intention clear that I'm just looking for someone to talk to. I'm not looking for advice, because sometimes unsolicited advice is even like worse in situations.
Worse, yes.
I know. Well, it's like, I'm not asking for,
because I only have three options and you're giving me 4, 5, and 6.
Right. I'm not asking you to like help plan out my career. I just want you to be like, yes, that is true. You're right. Your feelings are valid. Like, mm-hmm. I just need that, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like as the oldest sibling, you know, I have oldest sibling trauma, like responsibility. You know, we have to be the oldest sibling. And so I feel like I'm guilty of being that person that may overstep also too, because I want to help the person so bad.
Right.
I want to give advice so bad. I'm the oldest sibling. I'm the breadwinner. You know, I want to help. This is how I got here. This is my example. And sometimes I just need to listen to the person and understand like, oh, like, so what do you want to do? Do you want advice, or do you want to just take it like relax? Do we go get a bite to eat? Do you want a drink in West Hollywood? Like where should we go from here?
I love that. I love that you like learned that, because I also think like, because I'm the oldest sibling, and I remember my brother he was like, oh, I'm like dating someone. And he was like trying to tell me about it. And I was like, well, did you get a job yet? Have you been like, you know, you just graduated. And then my cousin was looking at me. She's like, your brother was trying to share something really personal with you, and you just like shut him down. And I was like, oh my gosh, I literally didn't even know, you know, like I'm so good at listening to like my friends and like,
but when it comes to family, right?
I know. Cause you want the best. And sometimes even if you want the best intentions for someone, you also have to understand that boundary of like, hey, like what is it that they also need, you know, that space or they need that boundary. Like it's really, dude, I told you since the beginning, humans are so complicated, and we're always like assuming things about people. And it's better to just communicate outright. Like, oh, you want to tell me this about your life? I'm so sorry I shut you down. I told him that. And he was like, oh, it's okay. Like, I just wanted to, I was like, oh, no, tell me more about it. Tell me more about it. And then he told me, and I was like, oh, I feel less like a jerk. It's not like I had bad intentions, but at the same time, like that overbearingness was like a lot.
And I feel like the older we get, whether we're in our teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and as we grow, we have to kind of like adapt to the new in terms of how to transmit and receive information too.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, like it's really good to know that like no matter what anyone's thoughts or anyone's actions is, we have no control other people. We have no control over anyone. We only have control over ourselves, our responses of what we're doing, what we're feeling. We can process all of that, but like, you can't lay out the future for your brother. You know, you can't be like, this is what you should do. You can do that, but that doesn't mean he's going to do it. So we can't have that idea in our mind that like we can control other people, because that's like an ego attachment, you know, like the idea that I can control everything. It's you want to, because maybe you're used to having that position growing up where you're like, I'm the oldest, you know, I'm the lead. Like everyone should, you know, follow my lead. But at the end of the day, they have to make their own mistakes, live their own life, and figure things out for themselves. And if they need help, open that hand and be like, hey, like, I want to help you. But if they want to figure out themselves, give them that space, because it's what they want to do.
I like how we started talking about food and then talking about communication and mental health and then family and how to deal with our emotions. Like, just food for the fucking soul.
Yeah, we definitely talked a lot less about food. We can talk back about food if you want. I'm always down to talk about food.
And just me giving unsolicited advice, you're going to start a page called Soul with Soy and talk about soul giving and receiving, and then you have food with soy and so on and so forth.
Basically, I'm saving the Instagram name right now.
I feel like every time I throw an idea, I'm always stressing you the fuck out. I'm like, oh my god,
Peter, can you reserve that for me, please, Peter? Thank you.
Calling the lawyers now. Well, we're both always doing the most. We have a segment called Doing the Most. They're rapid fire questions. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Doing the most, bitch. Who do you think is doing the most?
Wow, I'm not really rapid right now, huh?
Yeah, more like a tortoise.
Doing the most in what?
In anything,
oh, this is supposed to be rapid.
Yeah.
My mom.
Oh, your mom.
Yeah. Yes? like single mom, six kids going through with COVID and like surviving and being happy and doing her best, just cooking it for the church. Like she does the most and more.
Love it. Love it. Well, blessings coming her way.
Wink, wink.
Yes. What means the most to you?
My identity and like my purpose in this world.
Mm, amazing. When were you the most messy?
Ooh, I think July 4th, 2017. There's some videos out there where I saw myself and I was like, ooh, I am never, ever, ever doing that again.
Was this in LA?
Yes, it was. Sydney was there. It was like our little
Sydney Black
pool party. Yeah, I was just like, I jumped into the pool with clothes on. I was like, so, but you don't know that until you like see yourself in that level and you're like, dang, I can't do that anymore. But it was a good learning experience.
Well, I can't wait to celebrate with you July 4th, 2022 to reenact it. What is the most expensive thing you have?
I actually don't buy a lot of things, I feel. I invest a lot in like camera gear and things like that, but I haven't been using any of it. So I guess like my electronics, like everything's like a phone now, right? Because then people are like, how do I make content? They always ask me like, what camera should I get? And before I used to like give like, you know, I use this Canon, I use this. But at the end of the day, I was like, whatever is sustainable for you to make your content is the most important. If you're not going to pull out a DSLR to film all the time, then don't get a DSLR. Even though the quality is great, then don't get it. So like, I guess my phone, like I want to buy the new iPhone. That's like pretty expensive too. So electronics. Oh. Yeah, electronics.
T. Well, thank you so much, Soy, for coming on Say Yes to the Guests. You are a success. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Food with Soy everywhere, all platforms, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, everything's Food with Soy, one name, one brand. Mm-hmm. Because what? Makeup is a one size fit all.
True. Well, I love you. Thank you so much. If you guys want to check her out, be sure to check Soy out everywhere. If you are craving something yummalicious and just want to curb that appetite quick, she has the most amazing food content. Thank you so much, Soy, for coming on. See us to the guests, and I will see you in an hour. I'm just kidding. Probably soon.
Thanks, Patrick.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Say Yes to the Guest. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and follow at Say Yes to the Guest on all social platforms. Remember, you are successful. Now go out and be the bad bitch you truly are. Can't wait to chat with you next time. Bye.